And we're joined once again on The Scoop today by Colton Molesky, talking college football, recapping games from last week, and taking a look at what's on the slate for this week. Colton, better week for my picks, it looks as though it's starting to get things righted with the season coming down the stretch run. So thanks, as always, for joining us to break down some of the wildest games from this past weekend.
Always, always happy to do it. And wow, what a weekend of college football, huh? I mean, is there a team that can beat Alabama? Do we have to maybe go to a lab and build a team? Because LSU, I thought, was probably the best shot to make a game at least look fun against them.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. We just saw peak Alabama just flex their muscles and make life miserable for LSU. This is always the time of year where the old argument of can an NFL team beat a college football team comes into the limelight. And I think it's perfect, because you look at like the Cleveland Browns, you'd say, okay, Cleveland Browns, or maybe the Arizona Cardinals or the Buffalo Bills. It's like, could any of those teams possibly stand a chance against Alabama if they scrimmaged on a neutral site? The answer is resoundingly that any of those teams, the Bills, the Cardinals, the Browns, would win by 50, and it wouldn't even be close. So let's just get that garbage out of here right now.
I always think this is a stupid argument. I will say that if they're playing NFL rules, it is really the easiest time ever to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And Tua makes it look really easy to be a quarterback. And Nathan Peterman makes it look ridiculously hard to be a quarterback. And so the defense of the Bills is still better than something the tie could field. But I think the offenses would actually side in favor of Alabama if these two teams played, just because Tua is going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Nathan Peterman is a trash quarterback in the NFL already.
Yeah, that is well played. It might end up being like 56-6, but or maybe double digits for Alabama. But that argument cracks me up all the time, because you always see it, and it's usually like Darren Revelle or somebody like that tweeting it out, and it's like just stop it. It's not going to happen. So, but looking at some of the other results, we mentioned Alabama taking on LSU, and it was 29-0 Alabama beating LSU, and really leaving no doubt that they're the number one team in the nation. Clemson really leaving no doubt that they were the number two, as they beat Louisville 77-16. Some of the other results included Michigan routing Penn State 42-7, Georgia beating Kentucky 34-17. Colton, what were some of the most surprising results in your mind from this weekend?
I thought that Michigan really wrecking Penn State and giving them the worst offensive performance they've had in a couple of years was surprising, just because I expected Michigan to win this game, and I actually expected them to cover the spread of 10.5 points. I did not think that they were going to hold Penn State to 7 points, and I did not think they were going to post 14 points in the final two quarters of this game. I was really impressed with their performance. I'm really impressed with this Michigan team. They've really come into their own and found themselves. There was a little worry from me that some of those early wins were them playing against really bad defenses, and we'll see how much of the cohesion is actually sticking with Shea Patterson in this offense. And they look to be really hitting their stride at the right point in their schedule. This right now is the team to beat in the Big Ten, is Michigan, not Ohio State. They are clicking on all levels. There's not really too many things that you can see as far as chinks in the armor for this Michigan team. They're solid on offense. They're balanced. I like in the red zone the different things they can do. You saw the other day Shea Patterson getting out of the pocket and running for a touchdown, but they also have a couple different running backs they can go to. Higdon is kind of their main back, but Evans, he is kind of like a third down scat back who can catch passes out of the backfield. He can do some things pitching out the ball, getting to the edge. And then on defense, This team had 5 sacks yesterday against Penn State. They're going to get after the quarterback. They're just winning the trenches on both sides of the ball, and that's something that you can count on more consistently than maybe receivers being good or maybe your secondary holding up week in and week out. Really, if you could own the trenches in college football, that's going to be something that carries from week to week, especially in the Big Ten. I was impressed with them. Also really impressed with West Virginia, winning that game at the very end with the walk-off touchdown that was right in the back of the end zone to pull out the victory on the road, 42 for Texas. Will Greer might still have some stuff left in his arm to pull West Virginia to the top of the Big 12. That's always a fun race, and I'm excited to see this team duel at some point with Oklahoma this season. I hope those are the two teams left standing in the Big 12s, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Will Greer versus Kyler Murray. That's the best case scenario for just the viewers of college football.
Colton, I do have to take exception to one thing that you said, that being that Michigan was the team to beat in the Big Ten. I do have to wholeheartedly disagree. Illinois is the team to beat in the Big Ten. God. After what they did to the Gophers, 55-31. The Gophers fired their defensive coordinator, which you look at what the defense has done this year, and that seemed like the right decision. But is it right to throw some heat at PJ Fleck for how the season has turned out, or is this just people having a little bit too lofty of expectations for what to expect coming into the season?
You talked about a conversation about a pro team, whether Alabama could beat a pro team. Can we get the IMG to beat Minnesota? Can we get the high school team to? I think we could. I think they could. A lot of Division I recruits out of IMG Academy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a conversation worth having. I don't mean to hurt your heart here, but I'm not willing to put onus. Definitely, he's responsible for some of this stuff, but I'm not willing to go, hey, let's fire PJ Fleck or something like that. I just, as a policy, I try not to bail on a head coach after only 2 seasons, especially in college. I just don't know if you have enough recruits yet to get your team in the place you want them to be. I don't know if 2 is enough recruiting classes to really help them out. Also, they're just piecing it together as far as they've got like walk-on quarterbacks and guys that nobody really wanted, a quarterback playing quarterback, and they're not they're not elite level quarterbacks. They need to really scheme open stuff. I was at the Indiana game, and you really have to scheme open stuff. These guys aren't really going to throw open guys or really pick apart a defense. It's got to be a lot of the scheme. And then as far as running back, I know that he had the fumbles in that game, but Shannon Brooks was such a huge part of that game in Indiana. Gone really has an impact. And Ibrahim has had moments. He's had good moments for this this Minnesota's team. But it's not Shannon Brooks. It's not him bowling people, bouncing around, and then finding an open lane on the edge. It's, again, it's a lot of offensive player on this team right now. Yeah, even better than Tyler Johnson. He's the best offensive player on this team, Rashad Bateman. And if you give PJ Fleck a couple more passes, that's what this team starts to look like, is elite players elevating the system to their style of play, not played by a system. And I think the real difference and the real separation you see between Minnesota and other teams right now.
That is very well said. I wholeheartedly agree. Looking at the top 25 rank, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame all stay put as the top 3. Michigan jumps up to number 4. Georgia, Oklahoma, West Virginia up 5 spots to number 7. LSU down to 9. They dropped 5 spots. Florida and some of the biggest drops as well. Syracuse, the biggest gain as they jump up 9 spots to 13. And the top 25 welcomes Washington, NC State, Iowa State, Michigan State, Cincinnati into their rankings. Colton, any surprises that we saw in this week's top 5?
Well, I was surprised that the win over Stanford was good enough to garner Washington jumping to the 20th spot. Personally, I think Iowa State is actually a really good team. I would have Iowa State, I would have NC State over teams like Washington, but that's just me, just because Stanford really is a schizophrenic team in the Pac-12. They haven't really played a full game, probably since the USC game. I've been kind of piecing together 30 minutes to play teams since then. And so I don't know if that was enough for them to bump all the way to 20. Also, I was surprised Washington State didn't move up. I think they'll probably move up in the college football rankings from 10 after that win over California. A gritty win, winning a different way than you've seen them customarily win their big blowout, high-scoring games. Had a grittier win over California. And I was flip the script on how they've been winning games and win a different way and be able to play in the mud a little bit. I did have a question for you. Collectively as a country, because of how good Alabama has been, are we sleeping a little bit on Clemson? I just don't feel like – I feel like there's Notre Dame buzz. I feel like there's buzz around Ohio State, around Oklahoma, West Virginia. A ton of buzz, obviously, around Alabama. Even around Big Ten teams like Michigan, Penn State's fall and collapse. But I feel like there's not a huge amount of buzz from Clemson. Is that because the ACC is underrated or people think it's overrated? Is that because they're shellacking teams earlier in the day? I mean, does it feel – or is that just me? Does it feel to you like we're sleeping a little bit on how good it's been this year?
I think there has been a little bit of a little bit of lack of buzz, as you said. I mean, they've done pretty much everything that they can do in order to keep pace. I will say that the early in the season, 20 and then 27, that could likely be why, as you look at, well, they had to scrap things together to win those games. But every other game, I mean, 48-7, 38-7, 49-23, 41-7, 59-10, 77-16. It's like, and I think you look at Alabama scores, and they haven't per se. I mean, they've had some closer games, but I think that is a determining factor. But yeah, I think Syracuse needs to be more firmly, because, well, it's not like they're beating nobodies. They are beating very good teams. And it does definitely feel like they're getting a little bit swept to the side by many of those national quote-unquote experts.
Well, and the thing is, too, is if I'm looking back at Clemson right now where we stand in the season, if I'm looking back at Clemson and kind of the storylines that I would say mark the season so far for specific teams, it would definitely be that – storyline that comes to mind is Clemson's quarterback contract is really freaking good, and it's kind of scary how the class Garrett, Alabama, Clemson at the end of the year, and that could be the most terrifying smash mouth football in the trenches that we've seen to date.
Yeah, that would definitely live up to the hype, to say the least, to get those two teams on whatever field we can. So just looking at some other things as we round out the segment here before taking a look at the games coming up next week. Obviously, as we've done on a weekly basis, we've tried to take a look at the Heisman race, but I'm firmly entrenched that it has already been won. So let's look at the Tua Tagovailoa and the other candidates who are starting to maybe battle for second place. Anybody who has jumped up with a huge performance? I see Will Greer of West Virginia vaulted to number 3 in ESPN's rankings, but anybody else who is jumping into the conversation at least?
You know, I like to go off the beaten path with this one, Seth.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna continue that trend. I've got a linebacker for you.
Okay.
I have a linebacker out of Kentucky, Josh Allen. He's second in the country with 10 sacks. He's one of the premier guys on this Kentucky defense that has kind of sprung this to the forefront of college football. They've been in the rankings. They've been in the top 10. They are 7-2, one of the best starts for a Kentucky football team since 2007. And I think that this defense is one of the better squads in the country as far as points allowed. I mean, I know they let up a lot of points last week, but they've only been letting up 15.3 points per game on average. That's 8th best in the country as far as then you have this guy, Josh Allen, the sack master at the forefront of this team, guiding this team attacking opposing backfields. He's got plenty of tackles for loss, and he's also pulled in 10 sacks. That's one of my Heisman dark horses that I'm pulling out. Again, I always like to go off the beaten path. I like to go with the boring, just star quarterback. So that's my guy that I'm watching, and I encourage you to watch him as well.
Ooh, Colton Molesky, the working man's Heisman candidate endorser. So, yes.
Exactly.
We are equal opportunity Heisman Trophy candidate here on the Scoop. So, yeah, I'll definitely take that into consideration. Looking at the slate here for this week, Colton, and again, every week we say this, there's no shortage of good games coming up here this weekend, and just looking at some of those that will be on the slate, of course, we've got a big Big Ten matchup between Wisconsin and number 14 Penn State. Some of the other games, number 18 Mississippi State taking on number 1 Alabama. And we also get Oklahoma State and Oklahoma as well in the afternoon. What are some of the other games that listeners should be keeping an eye on here for the weekend?
Well, for this slate of games, I really like the Big 12 this week. I mean, you've got West Virginia TCU, you have Oklahoma State, you have Iowa State Baylor, I think will be a good game. Texas Tech. And of those games, I'd really encourage you to watch Oklahoma State. Now, I know that this one is a ranked versus unranked, and Oklahoma has been really good, and they're at home. But Oklahoma State did upset Texas, who were on a roll before that loss. And they have a really good offense. Their quarterback has been a stud all season long. They have some things that they can throw at Oklahoma. They can keep pace with this offense. And Oklahoma has proven that their offense is really good. Their defense is not what it was with Baker Mayfield. They're not going to get as many stops. They're not going to hold people down. Taylor Cornelius for Oklahoma State, their quarterback, has 2,632 yards. He has 20 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions. He is throwing for a 59% completion rate. He's a really good quarterback. He can pick apart this Oklahoma team, and this can be another really high-scoring game. And I know that people will complain about defense and, oh, you got to have defense. I can't believe these teams aren't preaching defense. You know what? Seeing touchdowns is fun. And if you want to see more defense, go watch Clemson play. You can go watch Oklahoma State and Oklahoma play. If you want to see some points scored, if you want to see two really good quarterbacks go head-to-head and duel each other possession after possession, it's going to be a fun game. I'd encourage you to watch it. I also really like Notre Dame against FSU, just because, I don't know, does it feel like FSU fans are some of the more annoying college football fans?
Yes, without a doubt.
Right? It's funny to see them get destroyed this season. Is that just cynical of me? Am I just a cynical Gopher fan? Or is it fun to see FSU kind of get worked over this year, and they're going to be on the road at Notre Dame? If you like seeing tomahawk chopping or FSU fans with a glum look on their face, you could watch this game. I don't know. But maybe I'm just cynical.
You are trying to get Florida State back for all of the Jameis Winston and Jimbo Fisher over the last several seasons. I think you're vengeful in that regard, but I support it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I will be watching that game. Another one to watch, Clemson versus Boston College. You talked about how Clemson struggled a little bit with Syracuse. The line on this game is 20.5 points.
Ooh.
I know that it's weird to say, after all the praise we gave Clemson, to say maybe this game will be close, but Boston College has been good. They're the 22nd team in the country, 7-2. This could be one of those funky trap games where you look up and the halftime is like 24-20 in favor of Clemson, and Boston College is somehow keeping up with Clemson. I don't know. It could be a fluky trap game. Again, these are 19 to 21-year-olds that you're expecting to be elite week in and week out. It's just not going to happen, unless you're Alabama, of course. But it's just not going to happen. And so, I don't know. It could be a fluky trap game. Of course, I bet on Louisville the other week, though. to try and cover that massive spread, and I got worked over. So what do I know?
Yeah, that was a bit of an L, but hey, it happens. Look at my record so far in the picks that we've done this year. L's happen, and they happen frequently, and they happen to me. So we live through it. But anyway, looking at some potential for people to pick games, we got to go with your lock of the week. So let's lock it up. Who are you taking this week?
I'm going with another big spread this week. In typical fashion, I refuse to learn my lesson. I'm taking the Notre Dame minus 17.5 point line that it's at right now. FSU is just a big pile of poopy. It really is. And they're not a good team. They're just not well coached. They're not executing anything. They don't have anybody who's really going to jump off and be super elite, really try and take control of this game. And Notre Dame has been awesome. They've been awesome in the trenches. Dexter Williams has been great at running back. Ian Book has been one of the surprise quarterbacks of this year as far as how well he's played. They're going to pick apart this FSU team. This is going to be a 25-point win at least for Notre Dame. I'm grabbing the 17.5 points.
Love it. Colton, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show talking college football. Enjoy the games. We'll see how everything turns out. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Of course, wouldn't miss it. Thank you so much, Seth. Make sure to check out the SB Nation college football sites. Make sure to read all that great content on SB Nation. I'm one of the writers, one of the many writers that are putting out content every single day for you to get best prepared for Saturday. Make sure to check it out.